The second R is, the Gemara brought a bunch of braises as it relates to this idea that Be'echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. And the Gemara asks questions. Why do I need this braise? Why do I need that braise? Why do I need this reisha? Why do I need this sefer? And one of the chidushim that emerged from that Beis Amid Beis was that if a melech died in Rosh Chodesh Adar, left over a son, that son is a melech ben melech, meaning he's going to be the next king. He was even appointed to be a king. Afal pi kein. If he didn't physically become king until Chodesh Nisan is going to be 1 year to his reign. It's not going to be a second year to his reign. Even if he's a melech ben melech, it doesn't matter. Still, year two will not happen until the following year because we don't care that he's a melech ben melech. We don't even care that he was imminent, that they appointed him in Chodesh Adar. If he physically didn't sit down on the throne until Chodesh Nisan, his year doesn't start until Chodesh Nisan. The Noida B'Yehuda, in Shailos HaTshuvos Noida B'Yehuda, Chayshe Mishpat Simen Aleph, and the Chassam Sofer, in Shailos HaTshuvos Chassam Sofer, Eirechaim Simen Yud Beis, they both ask the same Gishmak of Ha'ara. But before the Ha'ara, we need a tiny bit of an introduction. And that is, the Rambam, in Hilchas Malachim, this is in Perek Aleph, it's Halacha Zayin, he talks about Malchus. He says, when a king was appointed, he was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Shmuel, as Pach HaShemen, Vayitzik, Al Roishoi, Vayishokeo. Me'ach HaShem Moishcha HaMelech, says the Rambam, once a king gets appointed as king, HaReze Zoycheloi Ulevanov L'Oilam. This Malchus that he just got is his, and it's something that his family can inherit. Shamalchus Yerushalayim, because the Malchus goes over by Yerusha. Shenemar, it's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "Leman Yarech Yomim Al Mamlachdoi, Hu Uvanov Bekerav Yisrael." That the Melech doesn't just get the Malchus for himself, but Harizes Zoich Loyu Levanov Loyulim. Says the Rambam, when a Melech becomes king, he's not only Zoich in the Malchus for himself, but he's Zoich in the Malchus for him and for his children and for his Einaklach. Shahamalchus Yerushalayim, because Malchus is something that goes over by Yerusha. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. The truth is that this idea that Malchus goes over by Yerusha is something that the Achronim talk about in different places, and they use this concept to answer kashas. Just two examples. The Noida B'Yehuda, in the tshuva that we just mentioned, Chay Shemish Bat Simen Aleph, he brings a kasha from the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah asks a kasha. After Shlomo HaMelech passed away, his son Rechavam became the next king. Then people weren't happy with Rechavam, and as a result, 10 of the tribes, they broke off, Yeravam Ben Avot, Aseres HaShvatim, and the rest is history. But the point is, it was David, it was Shlomo, and it was Rechavam. Rechavam's mother was Shlomo HaMelech's wife. Her name was Nama Ha'amoynes. That was her name. So the Kesef Mishnah asks Akasha that if Rechavam's mother was Nama Ha'amoynes, seemingly a Geyiris, and Amoynes, then how is it possible for Rechavam to be king? The Gemara says in Masechtes Kedushin Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. It says in the Torah, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech. And we learn from here, Kol Mesimoy Sha'ato Mesim, Lo Yiyu Elev Mikerev Achecha. That when you make someone king, and not only king, Kol Mesimoy Sha'ato Mesim, Lo Yiyu Elev Mikerev Achecha. It has to be someone who's Mikerev Achecha. And the Gemara and the Rishonim explained that what does it mean, Mikerev Achecha? It means that if someone's going to be king, it's incumbent that his mother be a Jew and that his father as well. But it's even more than that. This is a very big Kiddush. His mother has to be a Yisraelis, meaning she would have had to have been born a Yid. And if she wasn't born a Yid, but rather she was Megayer, even though, of course, she's a Yid, but when it comes to Malchus, it's a different standard. Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech, and Mikerev Achecha says that over here you need that the mother should have been born a Yid. Just to bring out the point a little bit better. We know that what makes somebody a Yid? If your mother's a Jew, then you're a Jew. If your mother's not a Jew and your father's a Jew, you're not a Jew. It doesn't really matter what a person's father is when it comes to his halachic status as being achecha or not being achecha. But when it comes to malchus, soim tasim alecha melech, mi kerev achecha tasim alecha melech, it's not enough that the person is a Yid. If it was enough that the person was a Yid, as long as his mother's a Jew, that would be fine. You need that the father should be a Jew. And even the mother, you have to make sure that she's a Yisraelis in the sense that she's not even a Geirus. So Frank the Kasef Mishnah, it's also in the first parak of Hilchas Malachim, he says, I don't understand. Rechavam, how was he able to be Melech? L'chura, Rechavim's mother was Namaha Aminus. And if his mother was Namaha Aminus, so he, L'chura, wasn't Mikerev Achecha. If he wasn't Mikerev Achecha, so he didn't have the credentials to be able to be king. So the truth is that the Nei Yehuda says that the Kesemish is making a big assumption. He says that I don't really know where he got. Meaning, it's not Mefurish, he said anywhere in Chazal, that Namaha Aminus was a Geyeris. Maybe she came, she was a fifth generation, 10th generation, say cheshbins, but the point is that it's not mefurish anywhere that she was really a geyeris. But let's assume the Kesef Mishnah's assumption, that Nama HaMoynis was a geyeris. So afraid the Kesef Mishnah, so if that's the case, L'chur Rechavim was not qualified to be king. So the Nei Yehuda says an unbelievable chiddush that the Poskim quote, and that is, said the Noida Behuda, what's the makar that you can't appoint someone that's not Mikerev Achecha? It says, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech. See, he says, when you're coming to appoint the Melech, when you're coming with the Shemen Amishcha, and you're anointing him, that's when there's a din, Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech. But once a Melech gets Malchus, says the Rambam, Areze Zoich Eloi U Levanov Loila. Now he was just Zoich in it Levanov. So now, even if his child is not Mikerev Achecha, so it's not going to be a stira, it's not going to be an impediment for him to be able to be king. She said, if David HaMelech had this problem, yeah, you would have had an issue. But David was Zoich Eloi Ulezaroi, which meant he was right to be Melech, and Shlomo HaMelech was right to be Melech, and even Rechavim was right to be Melech. Rechavim was a Ben HaChaben of David HaMelech. See, he was Zoich in the Malchus. He didn't need his own Zoich Tosim Alecha Melech. It was like the Rambam says, Arei Zeh Zoich Eloi Ulevan of Lo'ilam. Rechavim was an Enukul of David HaMelech. So therefore he was able to be Zoich. And as a result, says the Noi to be Yehuda, Yesh Loimer, over there you don't have this criteria. When it comes to Kol Simoy, Sha'ato Mesim, then there's a din that it has to be Mekerev Achecha. But once someone yashins, at that point it's not going to be a problem. The Mechas Chinuch, HaMitzvah Tov Tzadik Zayin, brings this chiddush from the Noi Debi Yehuda, and he says that based on what the Noi Debi Yehuda said, I want to entertain, I want to suggest maybe another chiddush, and that is, can a woman be a Melech Yisrael? So the short answer is no. But says the Mechas Chinuch, Lafi the chiddush of the Noi Debi Yehuda, I can hear it sad. The reason she can't be a melech is because it says Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech, and that would exclude Achoisecha. But says the Michas Chinuch, the Noi Debi Yehuda was mechadish that this pasuk of Mikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech is only when you're being appointed as king for the first time. But once a melech is Zoich Eloi Ulezarei Adoivam, so now Malchus just goes over Beirusha. He says a woman Yarshins. The halach is the v'mein bein, then the halach is the nachla moves over to the girl. So of course, daughters are subject to the laws of Yerusha. So if Malchus is something that goes over by Yerusha, so there's no question that a girl maybe shouldn't be able to begin Melech. Pasha, you'll tell me, what do you mean? There's a din, she can't be Melech. But the night of Yehuda was megala to us that that's not true. It's only a ikuv in being appointed as Melech. But when you get Malchus b'Yerusha, that's already a whole nother story. Either way, this is the idea. The Rambam says that Malchus is like other assets. It's something that goes over b'Yerusha. And when a Melech became Melech, Harez Nezoich Eloi Ulevanov La'olam, Shehamalchus Yerusha Lehem, L'shoinoi Hazav, Shal HaRambam, and Hilchus Malachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin. So with this very brief introduction. Say, if that's the case, I don't understand the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that a Melech ben Melech, whose father died in Chodesh Adar, if he himself didn't sit on the Kisei Malch, he didn't sit on his Kisei HaKavod until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so what happens? Chodesh Nisan is going to be year one, it's not going to be year two. L'chura, if Malchus is something that goes over by Yerusha, it's something that happens memela. That means as soon as the father died, memela, the child, became melech. If he memela became melech, so this was year one. If this was year one, the Chodesh Nisan is year two. So what's pshat in the braisa that melech ben melech, remoina as year one Chodesh Nisan, l'chura, it should be already year two. when it comes to a Melech ben Melech, the inauguration and the minui and him sitting on his malchus it's all arbitrary. It's something that's done, it's ceremonial, but at the same time, from a tachlis perspective, there's nothing you have to do. Because the malchus goes over Beirusha. Anything that goes over Beirusha happens memela. A child doesn't have to make a kinyan in his father's possessions if his father dies when he yarshens it, because it's his. You don't have to make a kinyan in it. It's your thing. If it's yours, why do you have to make a kinyan in it? That means the melech doesn't have to make any kinyan. He memela becomes melech. So the Neid Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer, they both ask this geshmak akasha, that if malchus goes over Yerusha, it goes over memela. We just brought out the extreme manifestation of it, all the chedushim that the Neid Yehuda said and the Menchas Chinuch said, but it's something that goes over mamish memela. So why a melech ben melech don't we say that when he becomes king first in Chaydash Nisan, even though his father died in Chaydash Adar, it's year two? Why is it only year one? So Neid Yehuda says, the kasha doesn't bother me. We're dealing with how you document shtaris. We're dealing with what cheshbon was used when it comes to minyan amalachim for a shtar. No. It's a kasha. You're right, he's king. Of course he's king. You want to know halacha, he's king? Yeah. You want to know if you have covet, you have to have covet for him? You have to have covet for him. But when they used to document the shtar, they did it based on the big hachtara. Literally, they did it based on the inauguration. So whenever the inauguration happened, that's when they did it. That's what the Neid Yehuda says. But the Chassam Sofer says a little bit of a different shot. The Chassam Sofer says that the truth is that even though Malchus is something that goes over Beirusha, but at the same time, there was a due diligence process that had to take place. Meaning, the only time the son of a Melech became king was if he was Roy to become king. But to the extent that he wasn't Roy to become king, he didn't become king. Meaning, you have to really, really read the fine print. The Rambam says, the who, this that we say, that a Melech ben Melech becomes Melech, Yarshin's the Malchus, ben that's only if the child was like his father, Bechachmu v'yira. But the point is, the Rambam goes through and he says that you had to be Roy. So says the Chassam Sofer, even though it's true that when the father dies, that means the son is going to Yarshin the Malchus, but at the same time, there's going to be some diligence process that's going to have to make sure some committee is going to have to determine whether this person is fit to be the next Melech. It's not like Yerushas Nesachim or Nechasim that just happens. This is something that requires some element of Cheshbon. And because of that, just because the father died doesn't necessarily. So he says once the father dies and he was appointed and he already sat on his Kisei HaMalchus, that's when you know he's Melech. But otherwise, just because he died, Lav Dafka, even though in theory the Malchus goes over the Yerusha, it's because we're still pending some diligence, and therefore, until that's completed, you can't necessarily treat him as a king. Now, why the Neid Yehuda, the Chassam Sofer, they're discussing things? This is all Hilchos HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is going to come, so we'll have all these halachas again. Hu, Lezare Yacharav, Adoylam. The reason the Achroinim discussed this is because the truth is, even though this particular halacha is not something that was very Nagel or Maisa, but there was a related issue that the Achroinim talked a lot about. And if you look in the tshuvas that were written in the last several hundred years, there are many, many tshuvas that discussed what happens if a Rav dies. There was a Rav of a Kehillah, think of the Shtetl back in the day, or even some of the larger cities, and the Rav passed away. And now the question was, who should be the next Rav? Does Rabbanus go over Beirusha, or does Rabbanus not go over Beirusha? And that's the topic of that Shuvin Chassam Sofer Simen Yud Beis. It's also in Simen Yud Gimel. Chassam Sofer talks about it in a whole bunch of different places. And so do many of the Gedolei Achroinim. They all discuss this Shaila. Does Rabbanus go over Beirusha, or does Rabbanus not go over Beirusha? So this is not our topic right now. But just to connect the end of Masechtas Beya, not Mukta and not Breira, the end of the Reitbach of Masechtas Beya and the beginning of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. And that is the Ramah in the end of Simin Reish Memhe. It's very short. The Ramah in the end of Simin Reish Memhe, so he talks about this idea that if someone has a shteller and then he dies, so the shteller is something that goes over Beirusha. So he says, Misha huchzik l'rav ba'ir, somebody that was a rabbi in a city. Afilu hichzik ba'atzmoy eze srara, ein b'hoi ridoi migdulasoi, afal pisha balo sham achar gadol mimena. Meaning someone's a rav, then all of a sudden someone moves into town, and this person is Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agoyla. So they go over to the rabbi, and they say, listen, you know, up until now, b'makim sheinish, hasdigavein ochet Amanda Omar. But now we have this Yid, he knows Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch, he's Paskin in Shailas and Kala Torah Kula. So we would like to ask you to, you know, this will be your last Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, and Be'echad Marchesh will be Rosh Hashanah for this new rabbi, and we're going to let you go. Wait, so the Ramas says, don't do that. No, it's not a good idea. It comes from a Rivash. It's not okay. Once someone's a Rav, he's the Rav. Then the Ramah says, Afilu b'noyu ben b'noy. La'olam koid men lacher. Even his son and his enekel, they always come before others. Kozman shememalim makim aviseim beyira. Vehem chachamim k'tzas. As long as they're shtickle chachamim, and they have yirishamayim, that the Ramah doesn't say k'tzas, then the halacha is that even the son and the enekel, even they're going to go over b'yirish. That's what the Ramah says in Hilchis Talmud Torah, in the end of Simin Reish Mem Heh. The Magen Avraham, in Simin Nun Gimel, he also discusses this Shaila. And he brings from the Mirashdam, that the Mirashdam said, that when it comes to any position, any shteller, that's totally in Chachma, for example, someone is a Marbitz Torah, or someone's a Dayan, Lo Yom Rina, you don't say that it goes over the Yerusha. Then what you do is, it's the next man up is the next most qualified person. But you can't just bring somebody in because he's a child. Anything that's related to Arbatzis HaTayra, that's the way it goes. And he brings the Magen Avraham does from the Ramam Ipano, Ayin Sham, Ray, that we've talked a little bit about in the past. But the point is, that's what the Magen Avraham says. So the Chasam Sofer, in his Haggais, in Shulchan Aruch, this is on this Magen Avraham and Erechaim Simen Nun Gimel. So he brings the Magen Avraham that said that when it comes to any position of Rabbatus HaTayra, when it comes to any position of Rabbatus HaTayra, he says there's no such thing as Yerush. That's what Malchus, yeah. Not Rabbatus HaTayra. Not Dayonis. It's totally in real Chachma. That's the only thing that really matters. So when it comes to that, there's no Malkin for Yerusha. You have to find the person that's most qualified. So it says the Chasam Sofer, the emesis from the Ramah and Reish Mem Heh, it's not Mashma that way. The Ramah's talking about the Rav in the city. So he says, you have to say that when the Ramah said the Rav of the city, he meant the Rav where it's more of a position. But the Rav, to the extent that he is someone that you're relying on for his Torah and his Piskei Halacha, it's Pasha like the Magen Avraham said over here. And he says that's why the Magen Avraham didn't even bring the Ramah, because it was Pasha. It's Pasha that the Magen Avraham wasn't coming to argue with the Ramah. He knew the Ramah, but he was just coming to say that, qualify it, that it's true for a position. But at the same time, if it's substantive in the sense that you have to know how to learn, so over there, you can't deal with Yerusha. There it has to be 100% based on what the person's credentials are. And then the Chasam Sofer says that take a look at the end of the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRamah, that there's a tshuva there that's written from Rab Shaul, and he says, over there it's mashma, not like what I just said, v'hu pela be'ena. It's a pela by me, he says. It's a plea atzuma, how this Rab Shaul in the end of Tshuvos HaRamah could have said this. So because we spoke so much about the Tshuvos HaRamah in the end of Masechtas Beya, so I said, you know what, let me take a look at the Tshuvos HaRamah. Maybe we'll have a psicha a little bit that's me'ein ha'chasima. But the truth is, I didn't even realize what I was going to say. If you look in the Tshuvos HaRamah, the very, very end, after the whole Tshuvos HaRamah, there's one random tshuva. And this tshuva was written by a yid. His name was Hakatan Shaul, Hachoyne Bekila Kedosha Krakow V'Hagalil Chosem Poi Breslau. His name was Shaul. Now, if you want to know the rest of the story, this Shaul was the son of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. The Rebbe Reb Heschel, who was the chief rabbi of Krakow, Kiyodua, he was the Rebbe of the Shach, he was the Rebbe of the Taz, he had a son, Shaul. And this Shaul wrote a tshuva. And the tshuva is printed, mysteriously, at the end of Shailos HaTshuvos HaRamah. It's one tshuva, just one. And it's written by this Yid, Reb Shaul. The tshuva is about this question, topic exactly, whether Rabbanus goes over to Yerusha, and he said it does. And his chiddush was that not only does Rabbanus go over Birusha, he seems to think that's pashut in the tshuva. It's Ramah. And Reish Mem Heh, it goes over. The Rav Oyer goes over Birusha. But he said it even goes over to an Edom. And that was the question over there. The question was, where a Yid died, he was a Rav, but he had a Choshev Edom. And the question is, does the Edom get it or not? So where does the Edom fall in when it comes to Yerusha? So really, the Edom is his wife's husband. But when it comes to Rabbanus, maybe we look at the Edom a little bit differently. And he says that David HaMelech was the Edom of Shaul, and he referred to him as Avi Avi, and you find there places that the Edom is treated like a son. And because you find places that the Edom is treated like a son, so he says when it comes to this halacha, it even goes over to the Edom. And this was the tshuva that the Chasam Sofer said that he saw, This was the tshuva that he saw. He says it's a pellet to him. He says, Rab Shaul, in this tshuva, the end of tshuva Saramah, he said, not like the Mogen Avram, that Yerusha is something that even includes Rabbanu. How could that be? He says, if someone's position is, it requires certain credentials, it's Chachm, it's Harbatus HaTayr, it's Dayanus, there's no way something like this. But here's the question. And it's just interesting in light of the end of Masechtas Bei. Why was this tshuva printed in the end of Shalos Tshuva Saramah? So I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that the Yid that printed this, the Tshuva Saramah, in the year 1711, in the city of Amsterdam, was a Yid by the name of Arye Leib. This Reb Arye Leib was the son of Reb Shaul, who was the son of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. He was also the Edom of the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi gives him a glowing haskama, and he talks about his my Edom Reb Arye Leib, who was an Einikel of Benon Shal Kedoshim. He was an Einikel of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. He printed in 1711 the Tshuva Saramah in Amsterdam. When he printed the Tshuvas, he was the one that made the decision that there was one tshuva in Tshuva Saramah that should be taken out. Simen Kuf Chav Dalet, the one about Stam Yenam. See, he took out Kuf Chav Dalet, and he felt that at the end of the day, the Tshuva Saramah always had 132 simanim. And being that it always had 132 simanim, he wanted to maintain that. It should still be 132. But he was missing one tshuva, and he didn't have another tshuva from the Ramah. So he decided he's going to be mechabed his father. And he put in a tshuva from his tata, to give him the covet. So like this, when you buy a Tshuva Saramah, you're going to get 131 Tshuvas from the Ramah, and the 132nd Tshuva is going to be from his father. And that's how this got into the Tshuva Saramah. And this is the Tshuva that the Chassam Sofer saw. If you look at what he writes, he says, Ube Tshuvas Rab Shaul, Shebesoif Sefer Tshuvas Ramah, Tfus Amsterdam. Now, the Chassam Sofer is getting involved in which Tfus it is. Tfus Amsterdam? That wasn't the Chassam Sofer's Asik. The Chassam Sofer is telling because that's where it was. It wasn't in the other Tshuvas. It was in the Amsterdam one, because that's the one that was censored. And when he was the one that censored, he was behind this whole geschäft. And he felt that he wanted to be mashlim something. And this is how he was mashlim. Either way, this was the best connection between the end of Be'ah and the beginning of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. And we'll end on that note.